Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am so excited about this interview that I did with Ashley Poston for her adult debut novel, The Dead Romantics. As you will hear in this interview, I adore this book and I know so many of you will too. Without further ado, please enjoy my chat with Ashley Poston. Ashley Poston, hello!
Hi, it's so lovely to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you today. Oh my God, I finished The Dead Romantics last night and my notes are unhinged. I have 15 pages of highlighted passages and notes and just me like screaming. There's at least a full page that's just various highlighted passages and me being like, no. And then, oh good, yay.
Like, whoo. Like that tension was resolved.
Truly. Oh my God. But for my listeners who haven't had a chance to read this yet, because it's not out until June 28th, tell us about The Dead Romantics.
Okay, so The Dead Romantics is about a millennial ghostwriter for a very famous romance author who no longer believes in love until she finds herself falling for the ghost of her very, very sexy and very recently deceased editor. It is really fun and quirky, and it's a ghost romance. And it also tackles the grief of her returning to her family's funeral home to say goodbye to her late father. So it's fun and it's sad and it has a happy ending. So
yes it does. I love this book so much, and I love, there's this amazing dichotomy of love and loss, grief and joy. And I found myself wrapped with your descriptions of grief, because I feel like so often in a sort of like lighter novel, there might be some grief, but it's usually just like, oh, and then this was very sad, et cetera. But this like really pulls you into her grief in a way that you're like, yeah, that's what it actually feels like to grieve someone. And it's very cathartic and raw. And then like, but then there's also these like beautiful moments of her like falling for her ghost editor and he's super hot. And she's just like, okay, like I'm mourning my dad, but also, oh my God.
Just what? Like whiplash back and forth.
But, and you'd think it would be whiplash, but it's actually a really, really well-balanced novel. And I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about striking that balance and working with that dichotomy.
Of course. So grief and love are very similar, it turns out. Like grief, I think WandaVision had a really good quote about grief and love. Like grief is like love enduring, which is like a really great quote. I love it. Yeah. So that's kind of how I went into writing The Dead Romantics and writing Florence's grief, because I was also coming to terms with the death of a close family member. Mm-hmm. And so writing this book was a conversation to myself. Mm-hmm. Because this person was very close to me and I really, really missed them a lot. So writing The Dead Romantics was just me figuring, like having a conversation with myself, right? Like, you know, I'm allowed to miss this person and I'm allowed to be sad and show my feelings because like that is cathartic. But also at the same time, like I'm allowed to like try new experiences and do new things. And that's kind of what I wanted to reflect in Florence, is that while she is grieving the death of her father, like there is this new experience that's also happening. And it kind of like helps her cope with the change of like her world, because when her father passes, he was the one person who like loved her no matter what, right? He was like her biggest fan. And so like it's just her finding out how to live in this new world without him. And I think I don't think Ben, the ghost editor, like realizes like what exactly like his role is in her healing process. But he's definitely like a good he's like, he's a good foil to her grief, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because I also lost a close family member last year, and that is like in life, it's like you're grieving this person, but also like good things still happen in your life. And it is, this novel really captures that, like, it's okay to have good moments while also grieving. Like, it's a really, yeah, you captured it perfectly. Well done.
Thank you. In March, I also, lost another person, like, really dear to me. And like, he was the person who told me that like death should be a celebration because it should be a reflection of like how they lived. Mm-hmm. And so like, I took that into the novel as well, because like her family, doesn't treat death as this terrible, like, final thing. It's just a goodbye, right? And like, and that they want to give the families the best goodbye that they can give them. So it's like they try to treat it like this celebration of life instead of like an actual celebration of life, not like, you know, crying in like a pew, just like reading an obituary, but something that actually reflects who they were. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love her family. I love the way they run the funeral home. I want a whole like novella of just like stories of her dad from like her growing up, because like, what a character he must have been, like buried in this like red tuxedo. There are balloons. There's like an Elvis impersonator. Just like, what a character. I love him. And like, her parents' love, the way she describes her parents' love, is so beautiful, right? Because she is a ghostwriter for a romance author. Mm-hmm. And I love that she's like, well, yeah, of course I'm like, I love writing love. Like, I witnessed it at home. And she describes like her parents, and they give me very like Morticia and Gomez vibes.
I was like, I'm going to write about Morticia and Gomez Adams. God darn it.
Totally. Yeah. They're just like, they're dancing and they're just so in love. And like, I love when a couple is openly in love around their family, like the Adamses. Like, I just,
it's so healthy. It's so good. It makes like pop rocks in your soul, right? You're just so excited to see it.
Yes. And I was so glad that when Florence's father passes, that it doesn't break her mother, right? Mm-hmm. Because like, I was like, is her mom going to be like a shell of her former self? No, she's like obviously grieving, but also like, this has been their life dealing with death. And so she has this very healthy outlook on death. And you know, she's like, I'll see him again. And I just love it. I love it. I could talk about your book for a million years. I love it.
I love your enthusiasm. I'm like grinning ear to ear this entire time.
I am like, I sat down yesterday. I was about halfway through. I had been binging it at work, and I got home and I was like, no one talk to me. I cannot, like, I don't want to do anything except read this book. Like, it is like, you talk at one point at the end in sort of like your reader's guide author note, you talk about comfort reads, and like, this is going to be one of my comfort reads. Like, oh my God, totally. Like, my spooky little heart. I'm just like, this, it's,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Highest compliment. Thank you.
No, completely. Because it is, you know, I love that it's a ghost story, right? So it's got like it's a little spooky, but it's not scary. It's a love story, and it's got a happy ending. And it's like, there's this amazing quote, and I'm going to quote at you for the benefit of my listeners, because it just filled my heart. Because Florence, at one point, she points out, ghost stories are just love stories about here and then and now and when, about pockets of happiness and moments that resonated in places long after its era. They were stories that taught you that love was never a matter of time, but a matter of timing. Amazing. Just, yeah, I was really drawn to this book, and I think a lot of my listeners will be as well, because I think that romance and horror are like peanut butter and chocolate. Like they go hand in hand. And so often I will find that horror readers are also romance readers. And I don't know what it is about the two. I think it has something to do with passion and, you know, getting your heart racing. Like, I think there's like an actual physical piece of this.
And there's like tension to it too. Like a good romance has like, you know, you're out on the edge of your seat. You're like wondering like, will they?
When?
Exactly. And then horror is the exact same way, except for it's like, will they die? Will they die now? How about now?
Yeah. And so your novel is just such a beautiful marriage of the two. And of course it's not horror because it's not scary, but it has those very cool, like spooky little elements of like, I love romance, but I love horror. And so like to have a ghost story in my romance novel is just delightful.
I am a connoisseur of romance, of like ghost romances. And so I was like, gosh darn it, I want to make one myself.
I love that so much, so much. So when you are picking your next reads, are you skewing more into ghosty things? Are you skewing more into romance? Something totally different? Like where are you, what section are you searching in the bookstore?
Oh gosh, that's a hard one. I think right now I am on a really big soft fantasy kick. I have no idea why.
Nice.
But just like a nice, lovely, soft fantasy, like Diana Wynne Jones is like where it's at, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've been like devouring the Winter's Promise quartet and like Priory of the Orange Tree and like all these like softer fantasies where there's like, there's not really any high stakes. It's just all just like good and kind of fine, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love that. There have been a few that have come out recently that I think are introducing people into the idea of a soft fantasy, which is so sweet. You've got like House in the Cerulean Sea, which is just like this little warm hug of a book.
Oh, it's so warm.
So wholesome. And like, just, oh, it just like gives you a little glow when you read it. And similarly, a new one that just came out and is being re-released later this year by, I believe, Tor.
Tor is the coffee shop. Oh, I devoured it. I was like, this is exactly my cup of tea. Yes. You know, like pour the tea on me, like Flashdance style.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I love that. And I think, you know, we're in a very difficult time of our lives with this pandemic and all kinds of other things happening in the world and this country. And so I think having these like soft, warm, cozy books is so important. And
I think cathartic.
Yes, it is. It really is. And oh gosh, Dead Romantics is right in there. Just
good. That's like exactly why I wrote it, is because I needed something warm and cathartic to feel like a warm blanket around me for a little while. So yeah. I'm really excited.
Oh, yes. I love it so much. I also love that I was highlighting all of these different like little things that I was like, that was a Princess Bride reference. Oh, she's on TikTok. Was that my brother and my brother and me? Like all these little things that I was like,
It was my bam. It was.
I knew it. Middleist.
Listen, dogs should vote. Okay.
Dogs should vote.
The reason why the dog is a mayor is because of those brothers. Okay.
I screamed when she was like, and the mayor is a dog who's been reelected 3 times. I was like, I'm obsessed. I want to live in this book. This is amazing. I love him. Mayor Fetch. I love him.
So good.
He's just a good boy.
He's such a good boy who can like maybe see ghosts too. The jury's still out there.
Maybe he at least gets like, there's a vibe. There's something. There's a vibe happening. I feel something over here. I honestly just can't wait. I have so many customers that I'm already like, oh, I know exactly who needs this book. Like because I you know, it's the type of book where you can give it to the romance lover. You can give it to the ghost story lover. You can give it to someone who has been dealing with grief and is moving through that space. And you can give it to someone who just wants something light and fun and cozy. Like, it's like, it checks so many different boxes and I'm so here for it.
Yay. I'm so excited. It is also great for people who love puns. I think,
oh my God. Yes.
There are a lot of puns in there.
So many like pun battles that I was like, these are incredible. It would take me so long to come up with any of them. Like, and Florence and Ben are like back and forth at each other. And I was like, you two are meant to be simply based on your pun game.
That is my one superpower. That is the one thing that I can do is I can win Punderdomes. So
incredible. I'm so jealous. That's amazing. Oh my God. At some point I want to just send you the screenshot of all of my like unhinged notes and ramblings.
I kind of did on Twitter, except for yeah, spoilers.
I was like, I crossed it out because I didn't want anybody to read, because I go all the way through. but like, I would just
happy
be
ending. That's not really a spoiler.
It's a happy ending, but like,
how you get there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And truly, I was like yelling in my living room. I was like, yes!
Oh, I had readers. I've had readers already like ask me. So I got to this one chapter and everything is terrible. And I just want to know, does it get better? And I'm like, look, you've trusted me this far. Trust mm-hmm. me one more chapter. All you need is just to go one more chapter.
You're so close. You're so close. I know. I had that moment. That was my series of no. But I was like, okay, but there's like 50 pages left though. So like, this isn't,
It could have been 50 pages of her just like, you know, sitting in her room eating ramen, like depression ramen. And like, I would do that. No, I wouldn't. I couldn't do that. That's me on a bad day. So
oh, yeah. Seriously, just hiding with my snacks and my books and just like, no one talked to me.
Yeah, basically just like a cocoon. Just yeah. No one ever talked to me again. Listening to Princess Bride for the 20th time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Highlighted the quote from that too. I was like,
love perfect that. Breasts. Great quote.
Perfect. It's a perfect quote. And I was cackling when she cut him off and I was like, let him say the quote. You deserve this.
I was hurting when I wrote that. I was like, oh, Florence wouldn't let him get away with that.
She wouldn't do it. But then she teases him about it later. So it's okay. It gets to come back a little bit.
Exactly.
Oh my God. I do want to talk a little bit about, I think it's so cool that she's a ghostwriter for this author. And I love the kind of peek behind the curtain at publishing. As a bookseller, I always get so, so excited when an author who clearly like knows obviously about publishing, right, and like knows the ins and outs, like writes about that. Like, I was laughing so hard when he was like, oh yeah, I met so and so at Winter Institute. I was like, I go to Winter Institute.
Me too. I used to work in publishing, so it was like really important for me to, you know, just get those things right.
I could kind of tell. I was like, this is someone who like who gets the offices. Like, this is someone who knows what it's like. But and
you
walk
into Harper and you're like, okay, no one has any privacy here.
Oh my God. No. So I loved that. I love that she is an author, but a secret author. And I found that so interesting that she's like, you know, to so many, in her mind, she is like, well, I'm a failed author because my first book didn't do well. And no one knows that I write these other books. And so like, why am I here? Like, no, like, you know, I can't tell anyone that I'm actually a New York Times bestselling author. And like, right. But I love that. I love her struggling to write the ending of this novel, because she's trying to write a happily ever and she's gone through,
the worst
breakup.
The worst thing.
Lee Marlowe. I don't like him. ooh, I had some nasty things to say about him in my notes.
Oh man, I was very, very sad when I got to the end, and I'm like, shit, only that one thing happens. It's fine. He'll come back in a sequel, and I'll torture him mm-hmm. some more.
Please, please torture him some more. That. Oh, I mean, just the every time he came up in a flashback, a memory, a story she was to, every time he came back, he got a little worse and a little worse and a little worse. And I was like, I hate this man.
Right. Cause like at first I had to be like, okay, why did Florence fall in love with him? I have to actually make this right. believable.
Right.
And then like slowly he starts to like become that MFA guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
I do love though that even in the scene where she meets him for the first time, and he is like, he's charming and he's funny and whatever, but even in that, she's like, oh, but he had a disregard for other people's books. That should have been a red flag. And he just like puts his cup down, no coaster. And I was like, oh, this guy.
Right. I was like, what's the one thing? What's the one towel? Coaster, like the cup on the freaking bookshelf. Oh. That's it.
Rude. Rude. And the way he talks about the romance genre, rude. This man.
So rude.
So rude. But I love that like she's trying to, you know, finish this manuscript and she just keeps killing the main lead because she's just so broken.
I mean, I don't know of a single author who like who hasn't just like done that to someone that they really don't like. They just kept on like putting them in the situation instead and like dropping pianos on them or like having them struck by lightning, you know.
It was truly incredible, truly incredible. And I love that her brother gives her advice at one point. He's like, oh, you could just like copy and paste the manuscript over and over. She's like, no.
She seriously debates that for a second. She was like,
really considers it. She's like, how long would it take them to realize?
Right? Like she's that meme, like, well, exactly. Oh,
God. Yeah. No, her family's amazing. I love her siblings. I love her mom. I love Ben. Love Ben.
Rose. I love Rose.
Rose, her roommate, her best friend. Oh, she just
from Thelma to her Louise.
Truly. Honestly, the characters are in this book are amazing. And I want so many more. Will you come back to this world and these characters? Because I love them.
I think I might eventually. The next book that I'm working on is a time travel romance set in the same world. So like we do get to like peek behind the curtain at Florence and everyone. And Lee Marlowe's in it too, obviously.
Of course he is,
because it follows a publicist for his imprint.
Oh, interesting. And, okay.
And it's really great.
I'm very, very excited. Oh, I can't wait. And now before we wrap up, I know you have a very busy day. And we've already talked about, some cozy reads that, we both love, but I wonder, is there anything else that you've been reading recently that you want to recommend to the people?
Yes, there are two books, also kind of cozy fantasies, because that's like what I'm into right now. But I just recently read The Undertaking of Heart and Mercy by Megan Bannon.
Okay.
So lovely, so cozy. If you like Anna Wynne Jones or Pushing Daisies, like that is...
Love Pushing Daisies.
That is it. But then you have to read it. Like that is the exact vibe. And then the other one is Sangu Mandana's The Very Secret Science. The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches.
Okay.
Or Irregular Society of Very Secret. Either way, I get all of the words confused. I also just finished reading that one and it was so good and so soft. And like the found family vibes just reminded me so much of House in the Cerulean Sea. Mm. And like, it just so good. Love. So good.
Love that. Oh, incredible. Ashley, this has been incredible. I love this book so much. I might read it again before it comes out because I am just, it's like, it's just like fizzling happily in my brain. And I just want to like
I love happy pop rocks.
Yes, little happy pop rocks in my brain. And I like, I can't even get my thoughts together enough to write my review yet. Like I need to like sit with it for a while to be like, ah, just everyone trust me. Just trust me.
And just read it, you know, just passing it out on the street.
But I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to hand sell this. Good luck with the rest of your publicity and launch and all of that. And I am just, I'm so happy.
Thank you so much. I am so excited. And thank you for having me on. I was just like, this is a joy. This is so much fun.
Thank you so much. All right. I'll let you go.
Bye.
Huge thanks to Ashley Poston for joining me on the podcast. The Dead Romantics is available from Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!